الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد After studying the treatise of Sheikh Abdus Salam ibn Burgess رحمه الله تعالى أوائق الطلب The obstacles in seeking knowledge We have seen a number of great benefits and the importance of knowledge and striving to obtain it and to have knowledge of the path of knowledge is of utmost importance and there are fundamentals and principles that every believer should be aware of on the path to knowledge. Number one is that is the path to paradise, but on that path there are obstacles and there are things that could lead a person away from benefiting from that path or detour him on his path. And the fundamental principle with regards to traversing on the path to Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking knowledge and in every affair is that one, he must be sincere and his intention must be purity for the sake of Allah and seeking the reward of Allah and the home in the hereafter. And in the highest status and ranks in paradise, not for any lowly intention or affair other than that, simply to intend the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and high status and rank with Him tabaraka wa ta'ala in the hereafter, to be safe from His anger and be safe from disgrace in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection. We have with us this evening a narration, the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, which is collected by Tirmidhi. And the wording of this narration had come in the text that we were studying, and that was from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And also this same text has been narrated as well by Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, and that is collected in Ibn Majah, the chain that is authentic, and likewise in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and also in Sunan Ad-Darimi. As for the narration here of Anas, this is found in At-Tirmidhi. And although there are some weaknesses in the chain of At-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration is well known and is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he has declared these texts, all of them, to be sahiha, the narration here of Anas, and likewise the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit. The wordings are very similar, there are only slight differences. So we have the narration of Anas ibn Malik, which is collected by At-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he mentioned with this chain, عن Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع له شمله وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة ومن كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له رواه الترمذي. So this is the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever makes the hereafter his main concern, Allah will place his wealth in his heart, and he will set his affairs in order for him, and the worldly life will come to him submissively. And whoever makes the worldly life his main concern, Allah will put his poverty right before his eyes, and set his affairs in disarray, and the worldly life will not come to him except what has been decreed for him. So we all know the importance of the intention, and the status of the intention, and that this is the place of examination. And if the intention is good, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, along with that, whenever the action is performed outwardly properly, the action will be accepted. But even if a person, he were to master the action outwardly and to perform it outwardly, properly, and according to the legislation, but inwardly his intention was corrupted. Inwardly he has a foul and lowly desire, hoping for praise or status or rank, or hoping for some hastened worldly benefit from these deeds of the hereafter, then the action will be rejected and it will not be accepted. And many times the person who strives hard to rectify his intentions sincerely and truthfully, this will be a means for him likewise to have the success from Allah Azza wa Jal, to guide him to rectify the outward aspect of the actions as well. The one who is truly sincere and he has an understanding of the religion then his sincerity will carry him to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this lies in obeying Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and performing the actions of obedience in the manner that He has prescribed and legislated and displayed in the Sunnah of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So no doubt there are two conditions for the acceptance of every action. The first one is Ikhlasun Niyyah Lillahi Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that the intention must be purely for the sake of Allah alone, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, wa Mutaba'a Lirrasuli Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and following the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this narration here is about the intention and the reward of the one who purifies and rectifies his intention, and the recompense that will come to him for that in this life and in the hereafter, and how the aid and the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala comes in this manner, by rectifying the intention and striving to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and realizing the reality of this life and the reality of one's life and the reality of the origin of a person and where he is going to, and where he is going to, and what is at stake, and what is at stake. So this narration is very beneficial, and we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala from His grace and mercy to help us understand it in a good manner and to apply it in a manner that is pleasing to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So in the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, was Anas ibn Malik, his Abu Hamza, Anas ibn Malik al-Najari radiallahu anhu, Khadim Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years while he was in Medina. From the time he was a young boy radiallahu anhu, he served the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and while he was a resident, and likewise while he was a traveler, and whenever he was amongst his companions, and whenever he was alone by himself or with his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik, and the well-known companion, he's from the last of the companions to live. He died in the year 93, and he was approximately 103 years old radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned that he's the last of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to die in al-Basra, and he's from the last of the companions likewise to die radiallahu anhu. So he is our narrator in this particular narration. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَكَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ مَكَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. In some wordings of this narration, the word, instead of the word hem, it's mentioned niyyah. مَكَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتَهُ أَوْ هَمَّهُ. And it's the same meaning. It's the same meaning. In the wording of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, in this portion here, it's mentioned the niyyah. مَكَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتَهُ. نِيَّتَهُ, yani his intention. And that is what is intended by the word hem here, yani his concern. The hem literally is a concern, but this is also one of those terms that's used to refer to the intention. We have the niyyah, we have the qasd, we have al-ibtigha. All of these terms here are used to refer to the intention. Likewise, al-ham. Sometimes this is also used to refer to the intention. So this is what is intended here. Yani the intention. مَنْ كَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. Yani meaning his main concern. His main concern. أَهَمَّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ. Yani the most important thing. The most important thing in his life, whoever has made the hereafter his main concern, and his intention and his goal that he aims for, this is what he works for, and this is why, and this is what he moves for. This is what he works for, and this is what moves him. This is what moves him. He works for the hereafter. He's not deceived by this life. He's not overwhelmed by the glitter and the adornment of this life. He's not tricked by this life, or by his desires, or by his whims, or by the lusts, or by the temptations of the devil. Rather, he sees clearly the reality of this life, and he has put it behind him, and he uses this life to reach his goal. مَكَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. And this is the meaning. This is the meaning, that whoever he made the hereafter his main concern, his main concern. So if he has money, he uses it for the hereafter. If he has wealth or health or prosperity, free time, or whatever he's engaged in this life, he does that in a means that will be able to benefit him in the hereafter. So even if he is in a world, if he's engaged in worldly affairs, he's not heedless nor forgetful. He's not heedless nor forgetful. So he will use this life and everything that he's blessed with in this life to fulfill his purpose and his goal and his main aim. This is the case. So he will turn every little affair in his life into an issue and a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. If he's going to sleep, he's not going to sleep just simply out of heedlessness. Rather, he'll sleep upon the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll sleep upon the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and with the intention to strengthen himself and his soul in order to get up to perform the obligatory actions or even rather non-obligatory actions. He'll sleep early with the intention to wake up to perform the night prayer, with the intention to wake up to perform the congregational prayer of Fajr in the masjid, with the intention to get up and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to strengthen his body. He will eat in the same manner likewise. And doing all of these affairs according to the sunnah, by eating with his right hand, with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, so on and so forth, eating that which is near to him. Whenever he's sleeping, he will make wudu before he sleeps, and he will go to sleep upon wudu, and he will make the adhkar before he's sleeping, and lying on his right side, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, and remembering the application of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sleeping and eating with these intentions. Even if he's going to have sexual intercourse with his wife, the same thing. He will remember the name of Allah. And he will do this in the name of Allah, seeking the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also to keep himself chaste and to put those desires in the proper place that is lawful for him, and likewise to help keep his wife chaste. In this manner, he will have a great reward while he's experiencing the delights and the joys of this life. And this all goes back to having knowledge of this affair. For this reason, we have seen that Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullah, he died in the year 132. He said, "Ta'allamu niyya, fa'innaha ablagu min al-amal," that you have to learn the intention because it's more severe, it's more serious than the action. And you have to learn about the intention and how to benefit from it and how to use it. And how to use it in one's best advantage. And likewise, how it can become corrupted and how to treat it. And how to treat it if it's exposed to any of these misconceptions or these doubts or any of these inclinations that could corrupt it or weaken it. Like Sufyan al-Thawri, he mentioned, rahimahullah, "Ma alajtu shay'an ashadda alayya min niyyati fa'innaha tataqallabu alayya." I never treated anything more harsh or hard or difficult upon me than my intention. "Ma alajtu shay'an ashadda alayya min niyyati fa'innaha tataqallabu alayya." I never treated anything that was more hard or difficult to deal with than my own intention, because it's always changing on me. So by learning the intention, a person, he will be able to benefit in this manner. Likewise, whenever one is putting on his clothes, it's an obligation, especially whenever leaving the house, that a person, he covers the awrah. Or if he's going to pray, that he covers the awrah. And likewise, Allah, he loves to see the blessing that he has bestowed upon his slave for that to be apparent. So then a person, he will wear garments in this manner, covering his awrah and covering his faults and adorning himself to look proper and correct, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If he's smiling in the face of the people, he'll smile in the face of the people, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that smiling in the face of your brother is a charity. So he'll do that, not hoping for something in the pocket of his brother, but hoping for the pleasure of his Lord. Hoping for the pleasure of his Lord. So he'll be able to turn his whole life into a means to seek the hereafter. Man kanat al-akhiratu hammahu, the person who made it the hereafter, his main concern, his main goal. His main concern, his main goal, he's a person of a tawheed. He has the knowledge of a tawheed, and he strives against his soul to purify the tawheed and to live by the tawheed and to apply and to actualize the tawheed. And he knows that Allah, he is the creator, and that Allah, he is the one who is in charge, and that Allah, he is the one who has authority and command over everything, and that nothing happens in this creation except with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that the people, they cannot help him or benefit him whatsoever, even if they gather together, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decreed that. So he will not attach his heart with hope of benefit from the creation. Rather, he would attach his heart with hope of benefit from the Creator. So he will not be looking to the people to benefit him or to provide for him or to sustain him, but rather he will look to Allah Azza wa Jal, because he's a person of at-tawheed. So his desire and his aim and his goal is directed to his Lord, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who is above the thrones in a manner befitting his majesty. He's not attached to the creation or attached to the people. Rather, he has certainty that the people cannot help him nor harm him if Allah did not decree. And therefore, he would attach his heart to Allah. He will flee to Allah, and he will seek refuge and protection with Allah. And he would take the legislative and lawful means that Allah has prescribed and allowed for him to obtain the good of this life or be safe from any danger or anything that he's afraid of or that he fears. مَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. This is the case. The hereafter, his main concern. He lives for the sake of Allah. In the morning, he remembers Allah whenever he wakes up. And whenever he puts on his clothing, he remembers Allah. And whenever he's going about his day and eating his food and that likes like this, he remembers Allah. Whenever he leaves his home, he remembers Allah. Whenever he drives his vehicle, he remembers Allah. And this is made easy and simplified for the one who learns the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the adhkar of the morning and the evening and of coming and going and the likes like this. This is the purpose and the wisdom of those adhkar. You need to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who learns them and understands them and recites them in all of these proper places whenever he wakes up, whenever he's putting on his clothing, whenever he's making wudu, and whenever he's leaving his house, and whenever he's riding in his vehicle, and whenever he enters into the masjid, all of this in the morning time. And the first thing in the morning, he's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all throughout the rest of his day, and every circumstance, and every situation that he comes to, he's remembering Allah azza wa jal, striving to seek the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. The one who has an intention like this, listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised for him. And he meaning that this is a condition here. مَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. يعني مَنْ جَعَلَ الْآخِرَةَ نِيَتَهُ وَإِرَادَتَهُ وَابْتِغَاءَ. Whoever made the hereafter his main concern, his main goal, his main intention. We should understand this does not mean he cannot have this life. Does that mean that he does not have money, or that he has turned away from this life and he lives on the streets, or that he's a bum? That does not mean that. It means that what is in his heart is the hereafter. What is in his heart is the love of Allah. So he does what he does, seeking the pleasure and the reward from Allah. And whatever he enjoys that in the limits of Allah. And he will partake in what he partakes in for the sake of Allah and in the cause of Allah, and because it's lawful and permissible by Allah. And that which he avoids and stays away from, or that which he forbids or refrains from, it's all because this is something that is not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore his love is for Allah. And he loves for the sake of Allah, and he loves what Allah loves, and he strives to implement that in his life. And likewise, his enmity and that which he despises or dislikes and his disavowal is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will avoid and leave off and stay away from everything that's displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will work in this manner. So the one who has this intention here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned three different great benefits that will occur for him. The first one, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah will place his wealth in his heart. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ. And Allah will gather all of his affairs for him. Number two, وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And the worldly life will come to him, رَاغِمَةً يَعْنِي ذَلِيلَ مَقْهُورَةً. It's going to come to him submissively. And easily, regardless of what anyone likes. The worldly life will come to him in an easy manner. مَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَّتُهُ طَلَبَ الْآخِرَةِ. Has come like this also in some of the wordings. مَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَّتُهُ طَلَبَ الْآخِرَةِ. That whoever his intention is to seek the hereafter. And all of these meanings, they are the same. The first reward for this, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That Allah will place his wealth in his heart. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, this means, جَعَلَهُ قَانِئًا بِالْكَفَافِ وَالْكِفَايَةِ. كي لا يتعب في طالب الزيادة. What does it mean that Allah Azza wa Jal will place His wealth in His heart, will place His richness in His heart, His true worth and value in His heart? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal will make him جعله قانعا قانعا بالكفاف والكفاية. That Allah will make him satisfied with what He has provided for him and that which is sufficient for him. And he will be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with the lawful provision that is allowed for him and that he was able to obtain in the lawful manners. He will not go seeking provision from means that are unlawful because his intention is the hereafter. And that's not the way to obtain the hereafter and the pleasure of Allah. So in recompense, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put contentment in his heart. He will have contentment in his heart. Ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi al-ghina yani al-qana'a والرضا والاكتفاء بما قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى له من الرزق. Meaning that Allah will make him content, make him satisfied, make him pleased. He will suffice with that which is decreed for him from the provision, from the provision. So he will not have to wear himself out looking for more. He will not wear himself out and tire himself out looking for more. This first point here is of utmost importance, of utmost importance. And this is true wealth and true value. True wealth and true value and true strength and true honor, it lies in the religion. It lies in sincere faith. It does not lie in money. True wealth and true status or true strength and true honor and true might does not in it's not in finances or in authority or in position and rank in the society. Rather, it's in sincere faith and being satisfied and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Lord. And with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet and messenger, and as Islam as a religion and way of life to follow and to abide by. He'll be satisfied with this, so he'll be truly rich in this manner. And it's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِينَ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِينَ غِينَ النَّفْسِ. That ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض. العرض يعني متاع الدنيا من المال وغيره وسمي بذلك لزواله. العرض عرض يعرض is something that comes and goes literally. So something that this term here is used to refer to the enjoyment of this life. A new vehicle, a new car, some money or wealth, new clothing, new shoes. Anything from the delights of this life can be considered عرض. A type of aral, the type of commodity or an item that one he obtains from this life, that one obtains from this life, some money, some wealth, some property, some of the good and delightful things from this worldly life. ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض. Yani wealth, true wealth and richness, being rich is not from having a lot of these worldly affairs. It's not from having a lot of these different worldly items that come and go. ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. But the true غنى, the true wealth, the true value, the true richness is that of the soul, is the wealth of the soul, the richness of the soul. غنى النفس. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Likewise, it has been collected by Ibn Hibban, رحمه الله, authentically from the hadith of Abi Dharr al-Ghifari, رضي الله عنه, that he says, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah, he said to me, يَا أَبَا ذَرَّ أَتَرَى كَثْرَةِ الْمَالِ هُوَ الْغِنَى. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Abu Dharr, do you think that having lots of wealth is considered being rich? Al-ghina literally means being rich, being wealthy, being wealthy, having prosperity. O Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, do you think that having lots of wealth is considered being prosperous, is considered being rich? As considered الغنى. قلت نعم. He said yes. قال أترى قلة المال هو الفقر. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, do you think that having little wealth is considered poverty? Is considered poverty? Then these two words here, they're opposites. الغنى والفقر. والغني والفقير. الغنى والفقر. الفقر is poverty. Is poverty. The opposite of that is wealthy. Being wealthy. He will be in poverty. This is called al-faqr. Oh, he will be wealthy. He will be in prosperity. This is called al-ghina. And the one who has al-ghina, he's called al-ghani. And the one who has al-faqr, he's called al-faqir. He's called al-faqir. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that having little wealth is considered faqr? It's considered poverty? And Abu Dharr, he says, radiallahu anhu, qultu na'am. I said, yes, na'am ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, qala innama al-ghina ghina al-qalbi. إنما غنى غنى القلب والفقر فقر القلب. Then غنى, wealth, prosperity, is only in the heart, and poverty, being poor, being broke with nothing, this is in the heart, poverty of the heart. True wealth is the wealth of the heart, and true poverty is the poverty of the heart. True wealth is the wealth of the heart, and true poverty is the poverty of the heart. How many people, they have been given the blessing of wealth? They've been given the blessing of wealth, but they did not deal with that blessing properly. So therefore, in their right, that blessing turned from a ni'mah into a niqmah. It turned from a blessing and a favor into a retribution and a means for their destruction. And that wealth, that ghina, caused them to transgress the limits and caused them to violate their rights, or caused them to become arrogant or boastful or proud, or caused them to use that wealth or to purchase things or to get involved in things that are not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. That are not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. On the other hand, maybe someone, likewise his poverty as well, he'll be impatient, and then he will also be unsatisfied with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll be unsatisfied with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he'll be restless. And he will say, why me? Why is so-and-so rich and I have nothing? I don't deserve this, and the likes like this. So both of these people here, in the proper understanding, they're both considered from the fuqara. From the fuqara. Both of them are poor. The one who is wealthy and the one who is in poverty likewise. And possibly someone, on the other hand, maybe he has wealth and he shows thanks for that. And he realizes the favor and blessing of Allah upon him in that, and he strives to use that wealth and the avenues that are lawful and that will please Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, he's truly rich. He's truly rich. And likewise, maybe on the other hand, a person, he's poor as well. He's literally poor. He's tried with poverty. He's satisfied with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he takes the means that he can to remove this hardship and difficulty. So on and so forth. He deals with his situation according to the legislation and the proper understanding of Tawheed. The Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So although physically he's in poverty, this man, he's full of faith and truly considered from the rich and from the wealthy. From the rich and from the wealthy. So the point is to clarify from the narration that the outward wealth and outward poverty, the physical wealth or physical poverty, this does not determine the issue. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ وَالْفَقْرُ فَقْرُ الْقَلْبِ. That the true wealth is only in the heart, the wealth of the heart, the richness of the heart. And the true poverty is only the poverty of the heart. The poverty of the heart. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned some benefits about this narration. He says, وَإِنَّمَا يَحْسُلُ غِنَى النَّفْسِ بِغِنَى الْقَلْبِ. And the richness of the soul can only be obtained by the richness of the heart. By the richness of the heart. Yani the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That true wealth and prosperity, true richness, is that of the soul. In this narration here, it's mentioned إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ. That indeed the true ghina is that of the heart. So the soul cannot have this richness and this prosperity and this wealth except if the heart does. Except if the heart does. So whenever the heart is purified and full of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this time the soul will be satisfied and content and be peaceful and at ease with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the universal decree and the legislative decree. So Ibn Hajar, he mentioned about this. He says, how does this occur? And the question, إِنَّمَا يَحْسُلُ غِنَى النَّفْسِ بِغِنَى الْقَلْبِ. That the richness of the soul only happens by way of the richness of the heart. He says, بِأَنْ يَفْتَقِرَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِ. That he will be in dire need. He will be in dire need and reliance upon his Lord in all of his affairs. This is the key. This is the key. So again, this goes back to fulfilling and actualizing the rights of التوحيد. That a person, he must realize that he is poor entirely and in complete, absolute need of Allah Azza wa Jal for every breath and every moment in his life. No good, no safety, no security, no benefit. Nothing can he have from good. From the good of this life or the hereafter, the beneficial knowledge or safety and security in his wealth or in his house or his family, none of this happens except by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore he will put all of his trust and faith and reliance, and he will submit himself entirely. بِأَنْ يَفْتَقِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِ يَفْتَقِرَ, yani that he will consider himself in dire need. Also this is from the same word, الفقر. And he will find himself poor and without nothing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he is the one who is rich. Ya ayyuhan nas antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. One who will realize this. This is the reality. This is the reality. We're poor in front of Allah. We have nothing. We have nothing except by the command of Allah. But people don't realize that. The one who has a rich soul and a rich heart, he is the one who realizes that. And he submits and surrenders and he bows down to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he yastaslim li rabbihi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yaftaqir ilayhi fi jami'i umurihi, that he will realize his poverty and his need, and he will have nothing but trust and reliance and love and hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, in fear in Allah Azza wa Jal. He will fulfill the tawheed, the rights of tawheed in this manner. فَيَتَحَقَّقُ أَنَّهُ الْمُعْطِي الْمَانِعِ. So he will see and realize that Allah, he is the one who provides. Allah, he is the one who gives. And Allah, he is the one who withholds. That Allah, he is the one who gives. And he is the one who withholds. He says, فَيَرَ اللَّهَ بِقَضَائِهِ وَيَشْكُرُهُ عَلَى نَعْمَائِهِ وَيَفْزَعُ إِلَيْهِ فِي كَشْفِ ضَرَّائِهِ. He says, so therefore he will be pleased with his decrees, and he will thank him for his blessings, and he will hasten to seek his help to remove all of the hardships. A person, his heart will be attached to Allah. His heart will be attached to Allah. He will rely and trust on Allah. He will fear Allah, not the people. He will hope for Allah, not the people. He will put his trust and reliance on Allah, not the people. He will thank Allah first and foremost. If he thanks the people, it's only because it's a means of thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. So he will thank the people because it's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. If he said to them, جَزَاكَمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, بارك الله فيكم, أشكركم على هذا, I thank you for that, may Allah bless you, may Allah increase you, may Allah reward you. Even then he's remembering Allah when he's thanking the people. So the true thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever there is troubles, whenever there's hardships, whenever there's difficulties, his heart does not flee to the people. He does not run to his father or his mother or his wife or her husband and the likes like this, or to their children. He doesn't look to the people, how, who's going to help me? Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to pay for that? He goes to Allah first and foremost. The heart flees to Allah, runs to Allah. In the time of stress and hardship, the heart goes to Allah. In the time of calamity, the first thing he remembers is not the people. It's not the people, it's Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If it's a calamity like this, if some good comes, the first thing he remembers is Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, like this. And then after that, no doubt he takes those worldly means that are lawful and permissible to lighten that harm or remove it or to bring about the good and benefit and increase it, and increase it. So he realizes with no doubt that Allah, he is the one who gives, that Allah, he is the one who withholds, that he can't have nothing unless Allah gives it to him, and that he cannot be protected from anything unless Allah, he protects him from it. So therefore he'll be pleased with the decrees of Allah, and he will thank Allah for the blessings, and he will flee to Allah and seek refuge with him to remove all of the hardships that he's facing. The point now, Ibn Hajar, he says, فَيَنْشَأُ عَنْ افْتِقَارِ الْقَلْبِ لِرَبِّهِ غِنَى نَفْسِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِ رَبِّهِ تَعَالَى. فَيَنْشَأُ عَنْ افْتِقَارِ الْقَلْبِ لِرَبِّهِ غِنَى نَفْسِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِ رَبِّهِ تَعَالَى. So proceeding from this, proceeding from him putting his faith and trust and reliance and all of his hope of his heart is entirely in need, in dire need and trust and reliance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He put it all on his Lord. Coming from that is the ghina an-nafs, is that now he will become rich, now he will become content, now he will become pleased, now he will become at ease, and because he is not in need of the creation, he's not in need of anyone else. We understand how it happens. The one who his heart is attached to the people, he feels like he's in need of the people. The people, they can never satisfy him. They can never do anything for him. They can never bring anything to him by themselves. So if his heart is attached to the people, it's attached to those who are weak. Maybe they're going to die. Or maybe they don't like him anymore. Or maybe they'll become greedy or stingy, or they won't help him in the likes like this. So the person who is putting his faith or trust or looking towards the people, he's never going to find contentment or satisfaction. It's never going to last for him, even if some good comes about by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But as for the one who puts his faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he puts his reliance and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he realizes that the command is the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the creation is the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and nothing happens except with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he does not put his heart in the direction of the people, then now he will be free. Now he'll be free. This is the strength. Now, this is how his soul becomes rich. His heart becomes rich. He has true value and true worth. He doesn't need the people. He doesn't need the people. The people can't help him. He doesn't need the people. The people can't save him. He doesn't need the people. He doesn't rely on the people. Rather, he relies on Allah. So now he does not need anybody. The only thing he needs is his Lord. He has his Tawheed. He has his Deen. He has his sunnah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So by way of the religion and fulfilling the proper creed now, he becomes strong. He becomes strong and dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal, not on himself. Dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal, not on his soul. Dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal, not on the people. Like this, he will become rich in this manner. Allah will suffice him. Allah will help him. Allah will aid him. Allah will make him content with that. Allah will satisfy him. Allah will make him pleased with his decrees and make him pleased and happy and at ease with whatever he's facing in this life. This is the reward and the recompense. This is the reward and the recompense. Likewise, it's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-taqi al-ghani al-khafi." Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-taqi al-ghani al-khafi. That Allah, he loves the one who is taqi, the person who is taqi, and he loves the one who is ghani, the one who is rich, and he loves the one who is khafi, khafi. Three traits. All of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves the person who's described with him. Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-taqi. At-taqi, yani sahib al-taqwa, the person who strives to fulfill the obligations in the proper manner, hoping for the reward of Allah. He strives to avoid and leave the prohibitions out of fear of the punishment and anger of Allah. He strives in this manner. This person is called taqi. Wallahu yuhibbu at-taqi wal-ghani. Al-ghani, yani al-qani', the one who has qana'a, the one who is satisfied, the one who is content. The one who is rich, meaning the one who is content and satisfied with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore he's going to be considered likewise al-shakir. So al-ghani, yani al-qani' al-shakir, the one who is satisfied and the one who is grateful and thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person who is truly has richness of the heart, and the wealth of the heart is that he will be content and satisfied, and from those few thankful slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal khafi, and the one who is hidden. The one who is hidden, meaning the one who does not show off, and the one who's not seeking to be known or to be in the head in the limelight or seeking the praise of the people. Rather, he's taking care of his obligations and living his life, striving to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's not looking for praise, and he's not looking for fame, and the likes like this. And these individuals here, there are many, alhamdulillah, and this is a beautiful trait. Not everybody is able to be in the front or to be known, but everyone who is sincere, he's known by Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, he loves the one who is unknown to the people but known to him. And the one who is khafi, and he's unknown to the people. He's unknown to the people, but Allah, he knows him, and Allah, he loves him. So this person here, maybe he gives charity to the masjid, or maybe he stands in the night prayer, or maybe he lowers his gaze, or maybe he purifies his wealth, and maybe he spends on his family, and all of this, he's doing it with a pure intention, seeking the reward from Allah. And maybe he's one of these people here who's striving to make the hereafter his main goal. But he's just from the layman or from any of the worshippers and the likes like this. And the people do not know him. He keeps his deeds quiet and silent and to himself and to the people that are that are around him, and his family sees him maybe, but even he hides some of his good deeds from his family, and he has actions that are hidden from the people. Allah, he loves this type of person. Allah, he loves this type of person. So all of these traits are beloved to Allah. At-taqwa wal-ghina wal-khafa. Yani that a person yakunu taqiyan, ghaniyan, khafiyan. Taqiyan, yani a person of taqwa. Ghaniyan, yani meaning that he's satisfied and content and thankful for the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that he is khafiyan, yani meaning that he is hidden and he's not somebody that is seeking the limelight or showing off or wanting to be seen by way of his deeds of the hereafter. So this is the first reward. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And he meaning that he will suffice with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will rely upon Allah alone, and he will be satisfied and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be patient in the times of hardship and difficulty, putting his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah alone, not upon the creation. Not upon the creation. So this is the result of having a pure intention, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. The people of Nar, as he mentioned, the one who truly seeks the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will find what he's searching for. The one who's sincere and he is looking for the reward from Allah and the pleasure of Allah and the help of Allah and the aid of Allah, then he will find what he's looking for. Allah, he will help him. Allah, he will aid him. Allah, he will facilitate for him. Allah, he will bless him. Allah Azza wa Jal will protect him. Allah, he will aid him. Allah, he will be pleased with him. And this is the recompense of this beautiful and good intention. This beautiful and good intention. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ. In some wordings, وَجَمَعَ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ يَعْنِي أَمْرَهُ. And he meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather for him all of his affairs and arrange them and put them in proper and good order for him. يَعْنِي أَمُورُهُ مُتَفَرِّقَةٌ تَكُونُ مُجْتَمِعَةٌ. And his affairs that maybe at one time they were unorganized or they are not in proper place or could be in chaos sometimes, the one who rectifies his intention in this manner and he works for the hereafter, then Allah will set his affairs in order for him. Then Allah will set his affairs in order for him. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ يَعْنِي جَمَعَ لَهُ أُمُورَهُ مُتَفَرِّقَةً بِأَنْ جَعَلَهُ مَجْمُوعَ الْخَاطِرِ بِتَهْيَةِ أَسْبَابِهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُ بِهِ. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his affairs together for him, and put his line up his life and put it in proper order and put his mind and his thought together. And many times a person, his thoughts will not be united. He'll be distracted, thinking about this and worried about that and concerned about this and lost in that and in his mind. So this is the second benefit of the one who is sincere, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal in the home and the hereafter. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ. And Allah Azza wa Jal will gather his affairs for him and arrange them for him and put everything in proper and beneficial order. Arrange all of his affairs, set his affairs in proper and beneficial order for him, and gathering his mind and his heart and his desires and his hopes and put everything together for him. And then likewise, the affairs in life will as well be placed in his advantage. And things will be brought about for him from the benefits of this life and the hereafter, facilitation that he could not perceive or even think of. Any avenues that will come, for example, in marriage or in business or in opportunities in his finances or in his religion, in his deen, and seeking knowledge, so on and so forth. Any avenues will come and the way will be paved for him and it will be facilitated. He will not have to try hard. And the avenues of goodness will open up in front of him, and benefit will come to him in this manner. And he will be able to benefit from his time and from his life. All of this is from the reward of having a good intention. And the third affair, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And the worldly life will come to him while it is submissive. And the worldly life will come to him submissively. Raghima, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, Haqira, Dhalila, Maqhura, Tabi'atan Lahu. And that it will come to him submissively and easy, just following behind him. And he will not have to work hard. He will not have to work hard. He will not tire himself out and waste his time trying to obtain his livelihood. Rather, it will be made easy for him to get what he needs and to suffice with what he has. And the good will come to him in this manner. The good will come to him in this manner. While the people of the worldly life, they're striving hard and tiring themselves out and working and going through commotion to and from, back and forth, here and there. And the likes like this, he will just take care of his business in the easy way and facilitated way. And what he needs will come to him. And what he needs will come to him, alhamdulillah. وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً يعني ذَلِيلَةً يعني you say رَاغِمَةً وَلَوْ رَاغِمَةً أَنْفُ فُلَانٍ even if so-and-so didn't want to. And even could be, even if somebody didn't want to, even if the dunya didn't want to come, it's going to come to him. يعني وَلَوْ لَمْ تُرِيد even if the dunya didn't want to, then it's going to come to him. It's going to come to him. وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً regardless of the situation. So this is all from the reward of being sincere and having the hereafter the main concern and the main goal. So the goals that he has in this life, to have an occupation or to have a job or to get married or to get a home or to have a vehicle or to have some pleasure from this worldly life, all of this is following in line with the main goal. So if he has a goal to get a degree, for example, it's going to be a degree that's going to help him achieve his main goal, not to stop him or deter him or take him away from that. If he has an aim to get a job or to get married and the likes like this, all of this is in order to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he's going to look for an occupation that's going to be lawful for him and permissible. If he's going to look for a degree, he's going to search for a science that will be lawful and permissible, a beneficial trade that will be beneficial for him, that is lawful and permissible. He will not sacrifice his religion on account of having an occupation, on the account of having a degree, on the account of having a job, on the account of having a dollar. Rather, he will sacrifice the dollar on the account of having the pleasure of Allah. So he will prefer to have the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If something is going to be sacrificed, it will not be the religion, rather it will be the worldly life. And the one who does this, we see what would happen for him. What would happen for him? جَعَلَ اللَّهُ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَرَاغِمَةً. So they're going to be tested. Sometimes we'll be tested. We'll face this hardship or this difficulty in our life. It's a trial and a test. And the one who shows preference for the command of Allah and the decree of Allah, the one who shows preference to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he takes the means that are lawful, seeking the pleasure of Allah in the home and the hereafter, then that test will be removed. It will go away. And that hardship will be lifted and ease will come in place. And ease will come in place, and the facilitation will come as is promised in the narration. But many times there will be tests. There is issues in life. Life is a test. We're not going to be left to say that we believe when there's no test or there's no trial. Sometimes these difficulties, they come, and it's a test for us. And then whenever we face that with sincere faith and we strive against our souls, then Allah, He will remove that. Then He will remove that, and in place of that will come ease and great benefit and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reward, this is the recompense, the one who is sincere. This is of utmost importance, to strive to rectify the intention, to make the intention the hereafter, to work for the hereafter, not for this life. This life should not move us. This life should not move us, make us happy, make us sad, make us weep, make us worried, make us laugh, and the likes like this. Rather, we work for the hereafter. We strive in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we benefit from the good of this life that is lawful. And in any case, this life is a means to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of this is summarized in many narrations. Rasul Amri al-Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the head of the affairs al-Islam. Yani man kanat al-akhirah hammahu. The same concept, the same idea. Yani to fulfill the rights of al-tawheed and to actualize the shahada and la ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, and to live by it and to strive to implement it and apply it, to understand it, to know it and to love it and to prefer it and to apply it in one's life. After this, on the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the result of the one who is insincere, the one who has shown preference to the love of this worldly life. وَمِنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ. And whoever has made the worldly life his main concern, what would happen to him? the failure that will happen to him and the trials that he will face and the problems that he will face and the issues that he will face and the challenges that will come to him because of his foul and lowly intention. And inshallah, we cover this portion in our class tomorrow. We're preparing now a test for the seminar that had proceeded on the obstacles of seeking knowledge, and there will be review inshallah this week, and then the test will be available on Yom Sabt Al Qadim, on next Saturday. Whoever attended all of the lectures live or attended some of them live, either online or in person, or also listen to the recordings. So if he missed the class, he can listen to the recording of that. Or even if he missed all of the classes and he listened to all of the recordings. In any case, he has to follow all of the classes, either from live or from recording or from both. Then he can take the test. If he takes the test and passes, inshallah, we have some shahadat for those who pass the test and attend all the classes. Inshallah, more details will come in the channel. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.